podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
I am not enough!
Media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show featuring the best unsigned rock and metal
that Pennsylvania has to offer right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, XRPRadio.co.uk, AltRockRadio.ca, BuildTheScene.com, and RootaRooRadio.com. I think I hit them all. I should write those down someday. With me tonight for episode number 524 is Keith Hawkins. What's up, Keith?
How's it going, Bill? How are you doing, man?
I'm good. This is the second time Keith and I have been on air together. The first time I didn't say much.
I've noticed that about people that have podcasts. When they come on a podcast, I figure they just jump right in and take over. Sometimes it takes a little, for me even too. I've done it a few years now, and I'm not like a professional podcast guy. I mean, you do this stuff way more than me. I only do like once a week, and I can't even make a lot of weeks. Sometimes when I was playing more, I wasn't making them at all. So now I'm back into it a little bit. It takes some getting used to. And when I first did it, like the first probably even couple months, I would just sit there because I had no idea. And I was like, Jesus, who's listening? What can I say and what can I not say? And, you know, in case my grandmother or somebody was listening. But it's just, yeah, it's one of them things where you just, you know, you have to feel it out. And we've had other people on too where they've had like their own show and then they hardly say anything. So I don't know. It's just, I think it just takes some getting used to. I mean, for me anyway, it did.
Well, that's for me, it was the majority of what I listen to now is unsigned. And that's definitely not what we were discussing.
I mean, he plays a lot of unsigned bands. I mean, that's pretty much the thing on there. But at the same time, it's like, the topic itself is never about unsigned bands, which that's probably a good idea for a topic someday, because any band that's anything now was at one point just some unsigned bar band. So, I mean, it goes without saying that you probably should support that as much as possible.
So let's talk a little bit about the show, since we brought it up, but we haven't even said what it was. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. How did you get involved with that?
To be honest with you, I knew Lou from a band. I used to sub for a band called Super Monkey in Pittsburgh, and Lou was playing guitar with them, and we just kind of hit it off. But then he had an ad out on, I think, on Facebook one day, and it said a bunch of really, like, I hate to say it because we're all, you know, we're kind of from the same cloth, me and him, but it's like, it was kind of like a nerdy sort of explanation. It's like, I need a co-host, must love rock music, must love metal. I said, okay, check that box. He was like, sometimes we'll change up topics. You must believe in UFOs and like ghost stories and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I can work with that too. So it's like, it was kind of just, it was a funny ad and I didn't even know whether to take it serious. So I knew, like I said, I've subbed for the band a few times, but I didn't know he had his own podcast. So when I answered the ad, it sounded like something fun I would like to do. So he was like, it's Lou and from Super Monkey. I was like, oh, gee, small world. So that's kind of how that happened. And then for the longest time, it was just me and him until I moved. And then it was like, that's when he brought Lily in.
How about Lily went to Gigaroo this weekend and I wasn't there?
See that? Yeah, that's I think I know a dude who used to play a Gigaroo all the time. I'm not, he think he lives out in that area. Do you know John Fedlock at all?
Yeah.
The guitar player, yeah, he used to work with my wife and I know he played in several bands and
he played with the Climo brothers.
Yeah, that's for a while. It. That's it. Yeah. I like Johnny's a good guy. We're trying to hook it up when we come to Pittsburgh next weekend. We'll see
I think he's been playing with Flashback recently too.
I remember he did say, so I haven't talked to him in a while, but I think my wife keeps contact with him, and he did say he was playing with that band, so that's cool. John, you know, he's one of them guys, he likes to play, man, so whoever he can play with, and I appreciate that. He used to come out and see me play at Jurgles all the time, actually.
So when you were living in the Berg, what, other than Super Punky, what other bands were you in?
Oh, my. At towards the end, before I moved, I was in a band called Mad Dog Rodeo, which was like a kind of a, I don't want to say a heavy country band, but they were kind of like an aggressive country band. Bunch of guys that were like always like, they liked rock and roll music, but they were, the singer they had a like more of a twangy voice, a country voice. So they would take their amps and crank them to 11 and play really heavied up versions of like, of country songs, which got to be pretty fun because I could still play loud and hit hard and basically not have to worry about, oh, am I ruining the vibe of the country? It's not like, you know, definitely wasn't a bluegrass type band. It was like where you have to play a little softer. It was definitely, you could still play full volume. And sometimes I played probably, had to try to keep up with those guys because their amps were, like I said, on 11. So I played in them for a while. Silver Monkey was years ago. I was in a band even earlier to that played a lot called the Sydneys, which was like an original / cover band. It was like probably more 70-30 originals. I played in a band called Albion Cross for years. It was like a heavy kind of grungy band.
I have actually heard of them.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard of Super Monkey too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How could you not? I got his name up there.
On the show that I was on with you for with Lou, I mentioned Matt Ferrani. He played for Super Monkey for a little while. He played the drums.
I think that everybody, it's like one of those things where it's like Steely Dan. Everybody just crosses through and everybody just, you know, you've played, even if you play one gig, you have jammed with them. That was another band I played with a few times, the Dallas March Band, which was like a rock country band. And I swear they went through 100 different members probably in their time together. So it's a very revolving door, which is that's kind of not just a Pittsburgh thing. It's like an everywhere thing. It's like I've seen, even in 3 years in New Orleans, it's a revolving door of members. You might meet the same person 2 weeks later on a different gig and, you know, show up and be like, hey, I didn't know you were on this gig. So that's pretty much, I'm going to say it's pretty much everywhere at this point. It's like whoever you can gather up that can play the material and show up for the show. Because, you know, sometimes showing up is the most important thing. I mean, if you show up and suck, that's not good either. But sometimes people don't even show. I've seen people not show up at shows at all. And that's awful. So
and sometimes the most important ability is availability.
You don't have to be. I mean, I've put it this way. You don't have to be a great musician. I mean, it helps to be able to play your instrument. But I mean, if you can just be cool and have availability and hopefully have some decent gear, you can work. I mean, that goes with any scene. If you're easy to get along with, if you're a jackass and show up with an attitude problem and, you know, have all these demands and, you know, don't want to rehearse ever, then, I mean, if that's the way you are, then that's more power to you, but I don't know how much you work. I mean, it's just, for me, nothing's given to me. I mean, I'm just like, I have to go for it, you know, especially it's in New Orleans, it's oversaturated with drummers. So,
which would be the direct opposite of here.
There's a lot of great drummers in Pittsburgh. We've discussed that before. And I've studied with some of them and I know of guys that are really good players and I respect a lot of those guys, but you know, and it's like, and there's, I mean, you can play. But when I came here, it's like, there's so many friggin' drummers. There's so many great musicians. And it's like, you play on a bill and like, you know, I was playing up before the, you know, all the quarantine stuff was going on when bars were actually opened here. I was playing sometimes 5 hour gigs, but I would notice that all these bands would come in like brass bands or jazz bands or like, you know, it's, you don't get as many rock bands here as you do in Pittsburgh, but it's a lot of brass bands, a lot of jazz, a lot of blues bands. But I noticed that every musician, every band that comes in has some badass drummer in there. You got to follow these guys or play before them. And it's like, it'd be a little intimidating at times. And I was like, but you do what you got to do. And you got to come in and hold your own, because if you're not, somebody will take your gig quickly, because it's like I said, it's an oversaturation of drummers here. And there are a lot of them that I've seen are pretty damn good. So
now are you in, do you have a steady gig there or are you just covering for bands? Like I used to do when I played goal with deck hockey, I had a team and then I played like four more games every week for other teams.
Yeah, I started playing in a club called the BMC, which stands for Balcony Music Club, which is right in the French Quarter. So it's a nice little, I call it the tourist trap, because you're going to play a lot of music you probably don't want to play. But the bars are usually packed. And I ended up starting with a band there. It was called the Lifesavers, which was a like an R&B kind of funk band, a lot of oldie stuff. That led to me playing with a band called The Tempted, which was a straight just like blues band. So they see me play with, and I would play all right before them at this Balcony Music Club, because there's bands there all day long, right? It starts at 3 o'clock and it ends at like 3 a.m. But there's bands for 2.5 hours. And so every 2.5 hours is a new band that comes on stage. So I would play there for 5 hours at times. But that's kind of, that was my steady thing until this. Then I have a The band I'm playing with right now is called One Horse Town, which is a country rock band. And they play probably, put it this way, thank God for Mississippi, because I've only been gigging in Mississippi for the last, like, 3 months. I mean, no New Orleans, no Louisiana is just shutting down everything. Mississippi just don't seem to care. Because when we played there just this past Saturday, and the beaches are packed, all the bars are packed, not a mass to be found. So I don't, Mississippi just either they don't care or they'll pay the price eventually, hopefully not. But that's just, Mississippi got their own thing going on right now. And thank God for Mississippi, because I probably won't be playing at all. Yeah.
All right, so Jeff Yeckel, do you know Jeff?
I do know Jeff. Jeff and I are longtime friends. We used to work at a music store together, Monster Music, way back in the day. I haven't talked to Jeff in years, but yeah, Jeff's a good guy.
Hey, well, he just popped in and he wants to know what Hawk's favorite current whiskey is.
Oh, geez. Whistle Pig rye, I like. That has a very interesting flavor. It's a very good taste. So it's kind of something that I've been into lately. So Whistle Pig rye. That's a farm stock rye, actually, is what it's called. So that's what I'm digging nowadays.
I see he's in his photo, he has a guitar. Are you familiar with what? Is he in a band as well?
I don't know what Jeff's doing now. I'm sure Jeff's got to be playing somewhere. Jeff's actually a killer guitar player. I played in the Dallas Marsh band with him. He got me that gig, actually, setting in. And we had an 80s band called Members Only, which was maybe pound for pound, probably the best band I've ever been in musician-wise. I mean, everybody in that band was just killer players. I had to just try to keep up at times. So I'm sure – I know he was doing a Bowie tribute for a while, but I sometimes just you lose track of what people are doing. And so but I'm sure he's doing something. So, I mean, he's one of them guys that just not only is he a killer guitar player, he's a good teacher. And just and he's a guy that's going to always work because he has that thing I was talking about where it's shows up prepared, ready to do it. And that's easy to get along with. And I know he likes a few sips of whiskey once in a while, too, or at least last time we were together, he did. So
he confirmed he's in Bowie Live, which is a touring Bowie tribute.
There you go. So yeah, I knew you'd be doing something.
Now, is he from the Pittsburgh scene originally?
Yeah, he was born and raised in Bethel Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's contagious.
I know. It's so friggin' hot here that it's like 96 degrees. And I mean, by noon some days, it's 90 some degrees. And it's like, you don't even want to go outside and you start melting, but the air is so dry. And it's just, man, that's awful.
I think I'm going to hit you with some of my oddball questions. Okay. Did you do your homework?
I've seen you definitely tongue tied a few people. Hopefully I can step up. I might need a minute to think about it, but we'll see what happens.
All right. So, if you were going to go back in time and follow one band around for a whole year and just take in that experience and learn from them, what band would you follow and why?
No hesitation here. Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's my favorite band. John Bonham's probably the reason I started playing drums. I would just probably on a nightly basis sit there and just drool over what Bonzo was doing. You know, and I would just take it in and just see. I'm sure, like I said, I never got to see them live, but I've seen, you know, some videos. I've seen Song Remains the Same 100 million times. I mean, it's probably a band that I've learned more from just as, like, not only a drummer, but, like, how to, you know, if I'm helping out, like, if I'm an original band, I'll try to, like, chime in with some arrangements and things. And I always think first, hey, man, how would Zeppelin do this? You know, so it's that kind of thing where I think Led Zeppelin would be a band that I would probably wouldn't hesitate to just follow wherever they were going, you know? So that's, I mean, probably, like I said, to me, not to stoke up an argument or something, but to me, they're the greatest rock band. I know a lot of people will say the Beatles, and the Beatles are great. So it's almost like a 1 and 1A. I just think that I'm sometimes a snob when it comes to musicianship, and they had better musicianship all around. So I just think that they're that 1A, you know? So it's like, or the 1A that has the Beatles. I mean, I think the Beatles wrote great songs, and I will never, you know, disrespect them, but I just like, to me, I give Zeppelin that little bit of a more of a nod because they're better players. That's all. That's just my opinion, though. So,
I asked that question on Three Questions in a Song, which will be coming out here in 2 days. So right before this episode with you. And I was speaking to Tom Tikka, who is currently in the band The Personators in Finland. Oh, wow. And his answer was the Beatles. Mostly,
yeah,
because
it's kind of hard not to get those two. Like, you know, there's I've seen raging, probably over a lot of whiskey, battles for hours, just arguments going on, just about hugging. And then you get the occasional personal throw in Rolling Stones, but I mean, I just never was that big on the Stones compared to. And I'm not saying they're not great, but I compared to the Zeppelin and the Beatles, I don't put them in the same category as that.
If 10 years from now, kids are in school or at home online being schooled, however that's going to work out, and they're looking through their social studies book and they're flipping through it and they find a page that has Keith Hawkins on it, why would you be in a social studies book?
Oh, man. They would look at the page, would say, guys that follow their dream. I'm not saying that I'll ever be rich and famous musician, but I had the cojones, we'll say, to leave my life, strip everything down and go to a place I knew that I could easily get swallowed alive. And maybe the picture of me will say, hey, there's a guy that gave it a shot, man. Because it's like up until just, you know, like I said, again, up until this damn COVID and the quarantine, I was doing okay, man. And the hardest decision I would do in the morning was wake up and figure out what friggin' snare drum I can use on this gig tonight. You know what I mean? I was playing enough to where I could pay my bills and just live. I mean, and I'm not young, man. I'm like in my late 40s. I'm just trying to be a musician. I've worked my ass off for years. And when the opportunity came to move somewhere, I always loved New Orleans and I fell in love with the city. My wife and I would come here for years. I mean, 10 years in a row, just like 3 days, 4 days here. And I was like, we would joke a lot of times. I was like, you know what? One day we're going to live in New Orleans and I'm going to play just music and try to play full time. So I guess the long winded answer is that there'll be a picture of me on the social studies page and it'll say, man, this guy gave it the old try. Right. So, I mean, I guess you could say, don't ever give up on something. Like I said, I'm not going to be playing at the freaking Grammys next week, but it's, you know, it's one of them things where you got to keep trying, man. If you don't try and you'll regret it. Trust me. I mean, no matter what you like, you got to go for it because you got, as Rob Halford would say, you got one life and live it up, you know? So it's, you got to do what you want. Do what makes you happy because too many people don't do that. And then they're old and pissed off and they wonder why. And so, I mean, it's like, don't be old and pissed off. And but just go for it, man. And if you, like I said, you don't have to be a great player. Just be available. I mean, I don't say no to hardly anything. I've never, unless I was already booked, I've said yes to everything since I've been here. I backed a freaking drag queen one night up in Mississippi. The dude was dressed like, you know, he had the dress when he was like 105 pounds. I mean, he looked like a woman, but that was a guy and he would come out and basically it was like playing to a karaoke track. He would sing to the tracks with a live band, basically is what it was. So you had to sync up to the track and it was very bizarre and people were loving it. I was a little weirded out at first because I was like, not so much just all that. I mean, I do what you got to do, but it's like, playing to those tracks and be intimidating because I was like, if the track goes wrong, then I could be Milli Vanilli real quick. But yeah, that was an interesting, like I said, there comes times, I mean, I wish I had the ability to just snap my finger and be like, I want this gig, this gig. Man, I'm Mr. Especially here in Pittsburgh, I was no freaking rock star, never was. Here, I'm even smaller fish in big ocean, man. And it's just, you can't say no to something because you never know who knows somebody else. I mean, always do your best, show up and do your thing and just go for it. Like I said, I've played Brown Eyed Girl more than I care to really, you know, wish, but at the same time, it was better to, you know, go and work in some factory somewhere, I guess, you know, so that's my philosophy on that. So that's, you know, if the social studies book will say this dude gave it a try.
So if you could have your dream job, like what band would you end up playing with? kind of like the movie Rockstar. The drummer quits and leaves, and you end up taking over.
Can I give two answers? Because one's realistic and one's not, because of the whole personnel thing. So can I give two answers?
Yes.
All right. The unrealistic one, because this band will never get back together. But in a fantasy world, I would love to play the Police. I love Stuart Copeland. I've ripped him off more than anything else I can think of. And he's just one of the most influential, if not the most influential rock drummer out there. And I think he's a great player. And I think that I would love to step up to the plate and try to fill those shoes. Probably not going to happen. I doubt if those guys would ever get back together. But in a modern, even a more modern day sense, I think a gig that I would actually dig playing on would be the Foo Fighters. That looks like a fun gig. I would love to hang out with Dave. I would just like to hang out with Dave Grohl. And I love Taylor Hawkins as a drummer, and he got a nice gig, man. It's got to be hard being in a band with another great drummer like that. But at the same time, it's like, if you've seen Taylor play live, he don't mess around. Like, he's a badass, man.
I like the Foo Fighters, and I think Taylor might have a better voice than Dave.
Taylor can sing. Taylor's a talented dude, man. Yeah, he has the whitest teeth I've ever seen in my life. I don't know what he does to him.
I have been tagging the Foo Fighters a lot, probably once or twice every month, trying to get Dave Grohl to come on one of my podcasts, but I think they might have blocked me.
Yeah, Dave's probably kind of, I don't think that would, you know what, that wouldn't shock me. Like I've never met the man, but I mean, you see the guy and he looks like somebody you could just hang out with and just have a beer with or something. I mean, that would be awesome. I think he should just, you know,
I want to talk to him. I want to talk about, you know, how he got where he was. I want to talk about him pulling people up on stage, which coincidentally is the next question for you. The Foo Fighters are known for pulling fans up on the stage and letting them play along with them.
That's just true.
If you were in a crowd and you were going to go up on stage, who would be Dave Grohl in that scenario? So which band would you want to play with?
So what band would I want to play, be dropped on stage by?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Your eyes when I asked that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Does it have to be a band that's currently together, or can I say anybody?
You can say anybody.
I mean, I would like to be in the front row and whatever in a hypothetical world somewhere and just have Robert Plant take my hand and just pull me up on stage. Let me play like the Rover or something. I don't know. That would be, or like a Rock and Roll or One of the Levee Breaks. If I could play One of the Levee Breaks, I could die after that because I probably would have a heart attack. As long as I can pick the beginning of One of the Levee Breaks because it's the best drum groove of all time. And then I could kill over and I'd be good with that. That's the best. That's like my fantasy football dream come true right there. So I got the first pick. Robert Plant's taking my hand, bringing me up on stage, and I'm kicking One of the Levee Breaks, and after that, I collapse over and die, and I'm good to go. That's a hell of a life right there.
So, I don't know if I will end up getting a copy of Black Laurel, but if I do, we'll play it. If not...
I can send you some stuff before. I can send you individual tracks or send you the whole record, and you can pick them yourself. It's up to you, man, whatever you want me to do.
I mean... If send me one or two.
That's what I was going to do. Yeah. I was like, there's a lot of tunes on the record that there's nine tunes on the record and I'm only on seven of them. There's a couple that had a program drum beat that I wasn't around for. And another one's just straight acoustic. And it was a pretty quick process. The band was very limited budget wise. So I recorded all the drum parts in 2 days and there's probably things I'd want to do different. But I don't really have any. I'm proud of the record. I mean, it came out good. I mean, for like I said, it was definitely on a budget, and it sounds good. I mean, it doesn't. I don't listen to it and go, oh, this could be different. This could be different. And there's probably ideas I could come up with that would be better if I had more time. But in a crunch like that, 2 days to just record, you know, seven songs. I mean, I did it, and it was, you know, to a click. So I mean, that's not easy either. So it's like trying to figure out what the hell to play and then trying to relax enough to where this click's not kicking your ass and then having, you know, guys play along with you where you got to try to block that out if they're behind or ahead of the beat. And it's, you know, it's there's a lot of things to go with being a drummer that aren't that glamorous, man.
All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break. I will be playing a Black Laurel track.
Chief, I got it here.
Copy that. What's your location?
Mom's Hotel.
Just heard from Black Laurel. With me tonight is Keith Hawkins, formerly of Pittsburgh, now hanging out in New Orleans, wearing his Permane Brothers shirt.
You take the boy out of the burg, not the burg out of the boy. You know what I mean? I'll be back in Pittsburgh this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
This coming Friday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I come back once a year to visit my stepdaughter. My grandmother's in her 80s. I like to go to my old church and play some gospel music. You know, I got all kind of things I like to do when I go back. I might take a drum lesson off my old teacher. It's, you know, good times, man.
So let's compare the two scenes. How like you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of really good drummers in Louisiana, but that you know some good ones in Pittsburgh. But it sounded like you were saying there's a lot where you are now.
It's just a scene that's just oversaturated. I mean, there's not only like great drummers, there's just great musicians here. I mean, you can go down the street and see like somebody that like that are famous people. I mean, famous maybe just maybe to musicians, drummers, whatever. I can go down the street and watch like in a small bar when it was open. like see Johnny Vodakovic play or Stanton Moore play. Zion Stepatina's now with his band Galactic. You can see Herlin Riley play, who's like a legendary drummer from New Orleans. I seen the Demeters play, you know, at the little at the House of Blues on New Year's Eve. It's just, I mean, you can see legendary players, and then you go down the street to Frenchman Street or on Bourbon Street and see all these killer players. And it's just a, and New Orleans isn't a huge, huge city, but it's got just, there's so many good players here, but it's like, there's too, probably too many. But that's why you got to really hustle for every gig you can get, because somebody else will get it. And there's the live music scene here is really thriving when it's happening. The one negative, maybe I just haven't been here long enough, and I've tried with Black Laurel and another band I was trying to do this with. The original music scene here is a little harder than you could get a cover gig. Like cover gigs just, I mean, you got to dig for them, but they're there. You know what I mean? It's like you can play on Franklin Street or like, you know, like I was playing on Decatur Street, which is like a right in the French Quarter, where you can go on Bourbon Street and make a lot of money and play a lot of gigs with people. Like I said, Grant, you're going to play Sweet Home Alabama and, you know, the like all night, and you can make some money. But if you're an original music band, especially a rock band, I'm not saying you can't do it. Anything's possible, but the original music scene here for rock bands is tough. It's, you know, it's tough. I've been in Black. I was in Black Laurel for over a year, and I think we played in a year less than 10 times.
Wow.
It's just really, it's difficult to get on bills. I mean, a lot of people, or a lot of it could be politics. I mean, there's just not a lot of places for original music. I mean, there's a few niche places, but I don't know, man, most of it's cover tunes, and that's pretty much where I got to hang my hat until, you know, I mean, if a nice original project will come along that was actually playing places, I wouldn't hesitate to play in an original band. But at the end of the day, it's not going to pay the bills, and, you know, I got to do what I got to do also, which brought me to my, unfortunately, I mean, you can, I'm proud of the Black Laurel album, and I like those guys, and it was a three-piece band, so I dig power trios like that, and I really get along with them, but for me, unfortunately, it was a personal issue, like personal decision to step down from the band, because it just, I was turning down gigs other places that would pay me money, and I was like kind of rocking a hard place kind of thing, where if I had a Black Laurel gig, I knew it was, you know, it might have paid nothing, $30 maybe. Then I'm turning down a gig, it's $100 or something. It's, you know, it got to the point where that happened a few too many times, and I couldn't do that, because that's not what the purpose was. To come here is to make money and succeed as a musician, and, you know, I have to do at the end of the day what I had to do. So it's, you know, I'm no longer with Black Laurel, but I, like I said, I'm proud of the album, and I like those guys still. And, you know, you never know what the future holds. So.
Are they still playing?
Yeah. I mean, they have a new drummer, Chris. I don't know his last name, but Chris something. He's a good, solid player. I've seen him a couple of times. They invited me out a few times to play. They used to play on, they were playing on the singer's porch a couple of times, you know? So it's the thing about New Orleans, you can play outside and then people will just, a crowd just gathers. There's just people everywhere, you know? So especially when it first started and it wasn't as bad as it's getting now, and people would be outside and bars were closed, so bands would just jam on the street. You're going to get bands on the street anyway, because people just like to do that. It's just busking on the street, which has never been like something I've wanted to do, but there's some really good, like, kind of Dixieland style bands, and just some cool jazz kind of bands, of real traditional old jazz. I've seen some really killer bands just set up on the street and start playing, you know? So it's, you get a lot of that, but I mean, yeah, you could set up on your porch and there's people just, especially where they live, it's down where more people hang out. So it's maybe not in my neighborhood, but down, if you live down more in the city, you could probably put out a little tip bucket and, make a few shekels playing down there and have a good old time of it. That's pretty much what they were doing, because like I said, there's nothing's open right now, so we're all hurting at this point. Thank God for Mississippi gigs.
Where's been the What or what has been the oddest place that you've ever played in either scene? Or you can give me one from each if you want.
Here in New Orleans, even though it was a bar, just a regular like bar that was like nothing fancy. It was kind of a dive bar. It was but it was that playing with that drag queen. It was just a different kind of gig because you had to play with tracks and you were, you know, kind of looking around, and it was just a lot of interesting people there. I didn't have a dress on, or I probably would have fit in more, put it that way. But I just don't look good in a dress, and I can never do nothing with my hair. But that was different. That was like a very last minute thing too, so it wasn't really that happening. I mean, the band, you know, could have sounded better. In Pittsburgh, one time I did play at a library, believe it or not. They put us in a corner of a library. And, you know, people would talk about libraries being quiet. You could play in the corner and you had to play very, very soft. And they wanted that. And it was like a piano player, and actually a female vocalist. And that was it. I played with brushes. It was like, and we played like jazz, like a very chilled out jazz at a freaking library, believe it or not. And I played in a hotel lobby by an elevator about 2 months ago here.
By an elevator?
Mm-hmm. We played in a me and two acoustic guitar players, songwriters that I was in another band with, the country band I was talking about. He had a side project with his girlfriend, and they played in a hotel lobby next to the elevator. So people would go off the elevator and you'd just scare the crap out of them. Because you're like sitting in a corner. I had like a cajon. So I'm sitting on this cajon playing with me, you know, and we're playing really chill. And the place was like, the lobby had a bar in it. And so people would get off the elevator and they would just be like this. And they would be like, what the hell is there? There's a band playing. And it was a little unusual. So that was, yeah, there's some. But once again, I'm just a yes man.
Do you want to play outside the restroom at? Oh, sure.
It reminded me of a show that I used to watch called The Flight of the Conchords. It was on HBO for like 2 seasons. It's not for everybody. It's a quirky kind of humor thing. It's about a duo that came from New Zealand and tried to make it in the States as a band. And they would play these, like, they had this manager and he would book them in this like dumbest play. They played in an elevator one time while people were in and out of the elevator. They were standing in a corner playing. It's a funny show. It's not the kind of humor is for everybody. It's a little silly at times, but it's, the premise of the show is funny because they played in a lot of jacked up places. So when I'm playing in this like lobby of the hotel, I'm like, this is some straight up Flight of the Conchords stuff, man.
Chris Thunderwolf Dotson just popped in and said hello.
My man, Chris. Chris is the biggest Lou Dini, and he loves that podcast. Biggest fan ever of that podcast, man. Just a guy to support. He supports everything that we do on there. He supports me. He's made me a drum. You know, it's the guy. Just he just loves supporting his friends, and that's a cool thing. Yeah.
Did you get the metallic effect on the drum?
Yeah, he does that hollow flash. I got it over there in the corner. Yeah, I got way too many snare drums, but it looks really really nice. When I get to play in a freaking bar again, where the light will hit it, I'll use it, but right now I've been doing just a lot of outdoor gigs, you know, so.
I know he's supposed to be doing a guitar for Lou too, but I don't think Lou has sent it to him yet, if I remember correctly.
Who knows, man. Yeah, he'll do whatever, you know. I don't think he's another guy, just he wanted something done, he'll give it a shot, you know. The drum came out great though. I really like it.
I have some guitar picks he sent me.
I have some of those too. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with them, but you know.
I've shown them off on the show.
I was going to do that thing where people get a pick at the concert and they put a hole through it and make a necklace out of it. I might do that.
That's not a bad idea. Then my daughters will want to wear them too.
There you go.
Let's see. If you could sit on a bench for an hour and talk to anyone from the history of music and ask them only one question, who would you sit with and what would you ask them? And while you're thinking, Chris said that he definitely has not sent the guitar yet.
That Lombardi's a slacker, huh, Chris? I'm not a songwriter. but, and probably everybody would think that I would pick a drummer, and there's too many to pick from, so I wouldn't know what, I'd have a hard time, and it would take the whole damn show. Chilling out and hanging with John Lennon would be cool, I think. I would tell him, you know, if I could tell you one thing, John, I'd be like, you shouldn't have went down, don't walk down the street today. I would tell you that. Go somewhere else, maybe go another route, you know. But hanging out with John Lennon would be cool. Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome just to pick his brain on how he came up with so many catchy melodies and just all the hooks to those great songs, you know. So it's, that would be interesting. Like I said, I just appreciate music, and I don't, you know, I'm not a songwriter. So when I see somebody that can just write brilliant pieces of music, Freddie Mercury would be another one. I mean, he's probably Queen, another one of my favorite bands. And I think hanging out with Freddie Mercury would be cool too. So maybe if I could have like a coffee with both of those guys, that'd be cool. So yeah, that would be cool. But John Lennon would be just to pick his brain and just see what, you know, how he gets those melodies come to him. I mean, some people are just born with it though. So that would probably be his answer, but I'll ask anyway.
All right. So I'm going to ask you two more questions.
Okay.
And this one, you have a little more to pull from than my normal guest. If you were going to build a band to manage based on both of the local scenes you've been a part of, who would you put in the band? What band are they currently in? And what genre would they play when you were done with them? And now you're going, I wish we would have stopped at the last question.
I mean, I probably pick a lot of favoritism going on. In Pittsburgh, I would have a band consisting of my old drum teacher, Lou Ross, who's a brilliant drummer. I'm not sure exactly who he plays with now. He's one of the guys that just plays, probably gets more calls, so he knows what to do with. He's a guy that just taught me so much, and I think he could play any style of music that you would throw his way, so it wouldn't be a problem for him. If I could have two guitar players, I'd have Jeff Yeckles, a great guitar player. I think that, you know, since he's fresh in my head now, and he's always been a very tasteful guitar player. He likes a lot of the same guitar players I like, which I always, you know, admire that, because it doesn't have to be a shredder. I'm not really big into shredders. I like guys that play for more feel and just have just a good tone and just go from this. But I'd have to put Lombardi on the other guitar, so I'd have two guitar players, Jeff and Lou. I put Lou Ross on the drums. Singer-wise, I don't know, singer, that would be a tough one. I think that guy, what's his name, Fred, you know Fred Nelson, he used to sing for Triple X and Trace Ladds and all those guys. He also used to sing for Too Tall Jones. He's always a guy that always reminded me of kind of, he had a Freddie Mercury vibe to his voice. I think he would have been, plus he looks like a freaking rock star. So with him, he does. With him fronting the band, you go and have no problem. I'm trying to get the good look for the band too. And so far, I think I'm doing all right with that. So I'd have, you know, I got a couple bald dudes in the band. I got a couple, like, you know, guys with some hair. I got Freddie looks like a rock star. Bass-wise, I mean, there's the dude I used to play with in the country band, actually, Justin Brown, who was an amazing player. Stan Brusowski is another guy, if you know him, is a really killer bass player. One of my guys that I've played with, that one of my favorite bass players, you know, that he was just a tasteful player, you know. So it's probably one too many for the band, but I mean, that's, we always need a sub or two somewhere too. But yeah, that would be a good, and it would be a rock band. I think that would make a pretty kick-ass rock band though. Just with Fred's vocals out front like that, I think it would. And it would probably be, if I had to guess, it would probably be something along the lines of like, not really alternative rock, but like something like Queen meets like some funk, you know? So it's like a funkier Queen, I would think it would be. And here in New Orleans, man, guitar players, I don't know if I could guess a guitar player. There's not a lot of good guitar players that I've played with. I've seen a couple here and there, and I don't know these people. There's a dude, I think his name's Shane Terrio. He's seen him one night. He's pretty badass. Bass-wise, there's a dude I play with. His name's Andy Villafara, who's like a killer bass player. He's really good. Not a very snappy dresser, but a good bass player. I would put this guy that I just kind of been a little bit of a like a mentor and a friend to me here since I moved here. It was like the first drummer I met here that was cool with me. His name is Abe Thompson. He's played with a lot of different bands. He currently has a band called Abe Thompson's and the Doctors of Funk. So it's like his own project, and he sings really well. It's definitely an R&B sort of blues band, but he's a really good singer and he's an incredible drummer. Just the fact where he has a really, really good feel when he plays. Like, he can play very simple, but it just sounds good. You know what I mean? It's the feel is better, and it always sounds good, and it makes the music just kind of have that vibe, you know? So, and of course, you know, what New Orleans band would be complete without some horns? You'd have to have some horns players, you know? So there's a female saxophone player I play with, Lori, I forget her last name, blonde girl, but she was just one of them people that you start listening to and you lose track of where you're at. Because it's so good, and they just are so melodic when they play. Steven Schwartz would be another one who plays keys and sax. So yeah, it's like New Orleans, I got a bit of a bigger band, but you know, these are people I've actually, most of them I've played with or I've seen play, and I think that would be a pretty killer band too. And Abe could probably sing if we needed him to, and there's actually a girl from Pittsburgh that moved here named Lindsay Smith. She lives here now. If I had in front of like an R&B band, she would probably be, she's like an Aretha Franklin type. So I got two different kind of bands going on there. And yeah. I think that my manager skills, I'm dipping my toes in some different water. So I weigh if one fails, the other one can go on some other charts. And we'll see who gets the crossover hit first. But I think that would be good for me as the manager, where I could have, hey, what, you got a party? I got a rock band right over here. What do you need? Some dance music? I got a R&B funk soul band right over here. Next week, I'm going to put a polka band together. I'll get some musicians for you. But that's the kind of thing where it's like, that's where I'm at musically, because I'm very bipolar musically. I listen to, you know, the Iron Maiden one day, then I listen to, you know, Smokey Robinson the next. I mean, my taste is just, if it's good, it's good to me. I mean, there's music that I prefer over others, but I mean, there's good musicians, and not only good, great musicians in every genre of music. And I swear by that. Even if you don't like hip hop, there's something good about hip hop where no one's gonna listen to the Beastie Boys and tell me that shit's not cool. You know, it is what it is.
Hey Keith, last question. What is something that people that know you as a musician would be surprised to find out about you?
I think that people have seen me play, unless you really know me, they don't realize that, because I don't do this kind of gig often, and it's sad. I'm like a kind of closet jazz head. Like, I sit in my house, and ever since quarantine, I'm trying to, you know, swing my ass off with stuff. You know what I mean? It's like that kind of music, and especially like straight ahead jazz, I really like a lot. And lately I've been into trying to play some like almost like Afro-Cuban Brazilian stuff, because this stuff is so hard to play. But if I can just get a handle on it, I've dabbled in it for years. But it's something I start doing and then I go away from it, because I never do it out. So my confidence level starts to wane. I'm like, man, I can't get a gig playing this kind of music. And then here is the home of jazz anyway. It's you know, I sadly haven't played any real jazz gigs here yet. So, but it's one of the things where people have seen me on gigs. They just expect like a solid backbeat player. And my taste is more than that. That's the gigs I do, because it's probably something I'm better at than jazz, but I really have this real passion for jazz drumming. And I think it's really, not only is it a great kind of music, it's just, it's challenging. And it's also, it's so much different than anything else I'm used to playing. It just gives you a whole set of challenges that you're not used to. The coordination, the touch, the swing, the feel of the music is just, it kind of takes you and it just chokes your ass, you know, and it takes you and just takes you for a ride. You can't get away from the grip. So it's like, it's, That's the answer to that question. I would be some people might be surprised that I really love jazz music. I only like listening to it. Playing, it's fun. I just, the outlet hasn't been there for me yet. So I'll take it if it comes, but right now it's nothing.
Hey, I want to thank you for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I thank you for having me. The opportunity is nice. It's good to talk about, you know, the music, and I always love the Pittsburgh music scene, and I'll be back if anybody wants to have a beer or six on on Friday. So I'll be back Friday.
You might have to go to a different county.
This is what I hear. So I mean, maybe I'll have to smuggle some across the state line or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's I heard everything's closed. It just, I don't want to cancel the trip, so I'm going to see some people, and we'll see what happens. I guess I'll go at Washington County. Still open, right?
I believe so.
There you go. We'll be Washington County bound.
All right. So make sure you check out the Pennsylvania Rock Show each and every Friday. Next week, we will be talking to Deathlehem. They actually just did a online release for their newest album. Actually, they did it when they will be doing it while Keith and I are on my station on Friday the 17th. And then we're going to talk to him a week later. On the 31st, we'll have Modern Welfare. On August 7th, Anxiety at Best. And then we jump all the way to September 18th, where we have Royal Honey. If you're interested in being on the show, drop me an email at bill@buildthescene.com or find us on Facebook, also at buildthescene.com or buildthescene.com there. we'll check you out next week.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.